You're listening to show number 38, December 4th, 2018. Join me, animal naturopath Dr. Kim Bloomer, nothing veterinarian about me, as a host of The Doggone Truth, where I don't whitewash. I just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. It's natural, it's raw, it's the bone of fied truth. Join me today as we delve into another topic on dogs, their nature, and their needs. And just so you know, I don't separate my faith in God from what I do. He is the reason. So you'll hear about him in every single show and how much he loves us and all of his creation. I also talk about essential oils and their role as tuning forks and the laws of health that God gave us and his animals to live and be well naturally. Can you dig it? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Hello, I'm Dr. Kim. I'm your host, and this week I'm going to do something a little different. I am going to share a story with you, the very reason why I do this, the very reason why there is a podcast, the very reason why I've been podcasting since 2005, the very reason why I became an animal naturopath, the very reason why I ran a school for 7 years online in animal naturopathy, the very reason that I do any and everything, blog, podcast, write, speak, you name it, that's why, and teach, and do, and it's all because of this one dog, Shadrach. Nothing but the dog in him. Okay, I got to tell you just a little bit before I share the story, because I'm actually going to read from my book. I thought it would be easier than me actually trying to reinvent this whole thing, because my memory was a little better when I wrote this book in 2009, and he was still alive, so I still had a closer interaction with him. He passed away on April 5th, 2011. I thought if I share the story from my book, Animals Taught Me That, then it will be a lot more close to how things really were. I've changed since then, and I've since had 3 more dogs and still have 2 of them, and I really would like to share this with you because this dog totally and utterly changed my life. He was the dog, and while all the others are extremely special and amazing in their own right, this was the one I really began to listen to and tune into. He actually wrote a class for me called Rebarkably Scentable Canines from Heaven. And it is available for free for you to check out. I'll share the link with that in the show notes if you're interested in checking that out. Maybe you will be after you hear this. I want to open with a quote. It was stated by Francis Sizer, and Francis said, "At the point of desperation and great need, we can no longer continue with the status quo. Pain of remaining the same becomes so much greater than the pain of change, even if we don't know what to expect in the change. When we've exhausted every avenue to find a better way, turn over every rock and stone, run out of options, choices, and paths to follow and pursue, it is a most uncomfortable place to be." Gary Young, the founder of Young Living Essential Oils, said, "If you don't think faith in God has anything to do with healing the body, you better rethink what you believe in." Now, these are 2 very powerful quotes and actually pivotal to why I am doing this and to why I'm sharing this story today. As we're full on into the holiday season right now, I thought it would be a good time for me to revisit this and share, because I probably have taken some of this for granted simply because I've been sharing this for so long, since I started into the blogging and podcasting in 2004. And previous listeners probably knew, but this is a new show and new listeners, and I thought now's a good time. I know that people love having audiobooks and hearing stories from audiobooks, so I thought, you know what, I'm just going to share this one, and I hope you enjoy. Shadrach the Neo-Mastiff, Nothing But the Dog in Him. This is chapter 26 in the book, and the scriptures from Daniel 1 through 3, so the first 3 chapters in Daniel, the book of Daniel. "In the late fall of 1999, we were still dogless. Since Fridge had died, we'd not had the heart to try and find another dog, but he had been gone since January, and I was beginning to have a major fur withdrawal. A very tragic incident was about to bring not only a new dog into my life, but also a dog that would turn my world upside down and send me on the path I believed God had always intended for my life. Shortly after Thanksgiving, I lost a very dear relative to a tragic death, and to this day, it is extremely difficult to relive those memories. Friends and family members came from near and far to attend the funeral, and the next day, a group of us joined together for a family outing and lunch. At one point during the afternoon, one of my aunts happened to mention a dog which one of my cousins was hoping to give away to a good home. She already had too many dogs and simply could not afford to keep this very large and very needy puppy any longer. She had rescued him from a bad situation in which he had been neglected and was left to die of starvation. I asked my aunt, "What kind of dog is he?" And to my delight, she answered, "He's some kind of mastiff, a blue-colored one, as in blue brindle. That's all I know about him." All I heard was mastiff and male, exactly what I had had in mind. The very next week, it was the week before Christmas, we drove to my cousin's house in a nearby town to see him. She had told me he was a Neapolitan mastiff, and during the entire previous week, I had read everything I could find about the breed. I had also been buying all the required trappings for a dog, with the exception of his leash. I couldn't bear to use Fridge's things for another dog, so I needed a collar, training collar, dishes, food, treats, etc. It was an exciting time, but I was also nervous since I'd never owned a rescue dog with quote-unquote baggage before. When we pulled up to my cousin's house, all I saw was a very skinny, but cute in an ugly duckling sort of way, pup out in the dog pen, barking furiously at us. Donnie, my husband, only said, "Oh yeah, we're taking him." But I wasn't so sure. My two previous dogs had been golden retrievers, and Neo's could not be a more different dog in every respect. I was horrified when I saw him, and in fact, when I had first seen the pictures of the show dogs of the breed, I thought, "Oh, they look like gargoyles." On closer inspection, all I saw in this puppy, whose name was Shadow, was a skinny, raggedy, smelly little boy. But Donnie really wanted him, and I couldn't bear the thought of just leaving him there and not knowing where and with whom he would end up. It was obvious he was very hungry, too, because when he was brought in, the first thing he did was to try and surf the countertops in my cousin's kitchen. She had not fed him that day, fearing he would get carsick when he traveled with us, and I was very glad about that. I told her I'd feed him as soon as we arrived home. Fortunately, I had brought a little bag of treats with us, so on the 45-minute drive home, I gave him a few. He sucked them up like a Hoover Deluxe, as Donnie always says. And on the trip home, I sat in the back seat with him and just held him close. I wanted to reassure him that there was nothing for him to fear. He didn't seem to be interested in us in the least, but only in whatever food we might have for him. When we finally got home, I immediately put him on leash and walked him around the front yard and then took him in and let him walk around the house as well, still on lead. I showed him where his bed and food dishes were, and then I took him to the backyard and unleashed him so he could go potty. And I noticed that his pee was an orange color instead of yellow. Not a good sign. Because of his severe starvation, I've no doubt he had some kidney and liver damage. Our first mistake was to feed him a large meal. You see, because of his starvation, his body wasn't used to that much food at one time and was not in good enough shape to be able to assimilate all that we gave him. What went in came right out in pile after pile after pile of poop. In the yard, not the house, thank God. He only had one accident in the house. Yeah, one. I believe that first day I must have picked up about 20 piles of poop, but the worst was yet to come. The most difficult part of bringing home a new dog, especially a puppy, is how they get through the dark of night. Shadrach's first night was absolutely horrible. At least I'd given him a bath before that first day was over, but it didn't do much to improve his odor because it was coming from inside him. I can only surmise that Shadrach had an incredible will to live and did so in spite of all the odds against him. Before I proceed further with Shadrach's story, let me say that his name comes from the book of Daniel in the Bible. Three Jewish princes were thrown into a horrific fiery furnace because they refused to deny God, and they survived because the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus was with them. They came through the fire unscathed, and their witness was an incredible testimony to everyone at the time, and it still is. The name just came to me, and I truly believe that the name Shadrach was the one God intended for him. Shadrach had experienced extreme abuse and neglect from the very beginning of his short life thus far, and yet he had survived the fire. His former name, Shadow, certainly didn't suit his strong personality. Not that he initially showed us any personality. Often when animals have suffered an abusive situation and are rescued from it, they are renamed in order to give them a new beginning in every way, and that is exactly what we did with Shadrach. We had borrowed a dog crate from a good friend for Shadrach to sleep in. It was a way to teach him where he was to sleep so that by the time he had outgrown the crate, he would automatically go to his own bed each night. However, that first night in his new home had me doubting our decision to get another dog. He hollered and carried on as only a neo-mastiff can. They are certainly one of the loudest and most vocal dogs I've ever encountered. During that long night, I had visions of my golden retriever Fridge and how quiet he was, and the next morning, the feeling that perhaps we'd made the wrong decision about him persisted. Donnie, however, told me later he intended to keep Shadrach no matter what I said. I left him with Donnie as I had promised I'd go to my young nephew's birthday party and in a very noisy pizza place that children enjoy no less. I was so tired and I wondered if I'd ever be in a quiet, peaceful place again. My selfish side had reared its ugly head for sure, and I hadn't even considered what a horrible go of things Shadrach had already endured. Now he was in an entirely new environment with new people and a better life ahead of him, and here I was complaining after only one day. Like I said, one day. My neighbor's daughter soon came over to meet the new addition to our family. She is a fellow animal lover, and Shadrach took to her immediately. She was coddling that stinky guy in her lap, and I just sat there looking at them, wondering how I could possibly have thought I was ready for a new dog. Poor Shadrach. I wasn't even giving him a chance. My friend and former vet tech who had loaned us the crate called to see how Shadrach was doing on his first day with us, and when I started to complain to her about his pooping, his smell, etc., she gave me one of the worst dressing downs I'd ever received, and it was well deserved, too. She told me if I couldn't do the right thing by him, then the least I could do is find him a good forever home. I pondered all she said, and the next morning, even with Shadrach's occasional hollering, I woke up and decided that we were going to run with it. I was ready to do everything in my power to see to it that Shadrach had a good home with us. Donnie was ecstatic at my change of heart, and we agreed that together we would make it work. I followed my friend's advice and started feeding Shadrach 4 small meals a day until his stomach was able to handle larger amounts and fewer meals. Yeah, I was still feeding kibble then. It didn't take rocket science to figure that one out, but apparently I needed to be reminded. To get Shadrach to go to bed at night and not be afraid of being locked in his kennel, I started singing to him, something only a dog could appreciate, trust me, and massaging him. The song I sang to him, I made up. And to this day, when I start singing it to him, I can visibly see his body relax and any tenseness leave him. He'll even start wagging his tail when I sing it. Oh, what we do for the ones we love. Which doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of what God does for those he loves. On his second day, Shadrach was teaching me and we'd begun the amazing journey I had no idea we were going to take. Within a week, he was eager to go to his night-nighty, his crate, each night, and there was no more hollering throughout the night. One thing we did notice, however, was that occasionally he'd wake up startled from a nap or during the night and then begin a long, low, sorrowful howling. We'd rush to his bed or wherever he was sleeping and soothe him with a gentle touch. If it happened during the day, he would sit up with a fearful look in his eyes and his heart would be hammering in his chest. I had put my hand to his chest to feel him and I could feel it. Almost as though he was having a nightmare. Only God and Shadrach knew what those dreams were all about. Thankfully, he hasn't had one of them in a very long time. Remember, I wrote this book in 2009. By Christmas Eve, I felt confident enough that since he'd had a full week after coming to live with us to at least gain a little weight and adapt to his new life, he was ready for a walk in the park with me. When Shadrach saw Cora and Oreo, two of the dogs that were to become part of our regular morning dog play group, he actually appeared to skip. He was so excited to see other dogs again. As he was still a puppy, he was smaller than Cora the Aussie and Oreo the Labrador Retriever mix, so they were able to toss and tumble him all over the place, and he reveled in the attention and fun. We had snow that first Christmas of our being together, and Donnie and I couldn't have been happier with the furry addition to our life. Shadrach completed our little family. Most people pitied that poor little skinny boy the first time they saw him, but a few actually saw his tremendous potential. It wasn't long before Shadrach had put on weight, his coat gleamed, and the rascally look appeared in his beautiful green eyes. It was necessary for me to revise my entire workout routine. Since Shadrach slept in the weight room, I couldn't use it to lift weights before I went to the park as I had done previously. Instead, I began going to the park earlier. I would walk him a couple of laps, put him in the car with a huge blanket comforter since it was still winter, and then run a few miles before taking him out of the car and off to his doggy playgroup. He practically dragged me around the park to reach the bridge leading to the quote-unquote dog side of the park, and everyone was amused by our dog sled run around the park with me barely holding on for dear life. Shadrach was beginning to show great enthusiasm for everything he did. The most difficult part of his rehab was to leave him alone for any length of time. I would run short errands only, trying to be away from home for no more than half an hour at a time initially, during which time I would put him outdoors so he'd not get into mischief or damage anything in the house. Once I tried leaving him in his crate, but as I drove up to the house, I could hear him hollering, and I knew that wasn't going to work. However, he still protested loudly when I left him outside as well. My neighbors told me. Yikes. Fortunately, they liked him. Nevertheless, he eventually understood that I would return, and he had nothing to be afraid of. When Donnie got home from work each night, I would turn Shadrach over to his care and say, "He's all yours. I'm done for." Shadrach was quite a handful, but actually no worse than any other puppy, the only difference being that he was a giant breed dog with a bit of baggage attached. Although he eventually grew to be larger than all his dog friends, he was still younger, and that was difficult for everyone to keep in mind. They expected him to be a grown-up, you know. When Shadrach was about 6 months old, we took him to be neutered, something I would have certainly reconsidered if I knew then what I now know about animal health. Giant breed dogs should not be neutered before they are at least 18 months to 2 years old, since they need the hormones in order for their growth plates to close, or to fully close. Not to mention the fact that, and I'm going to say this, that God didn't plan for any of our parts to be spare parts. At any rate, if I had it to do over, I would make a number of different choices for him, especially since he suffered from some joint and arthritic problems, on which I'll elaborate later in the story. As Shadrach grew, so did our challenges with him. Mastiffs are a very independent, thinking, willful, stubborn breed of dog. They have to be, since their primary purpose is that of a guardian. Once he came out of his shell, I had quite a character to contend with. He was no longer afraid of anything. Fortunately, I had been doing basic command training with him, although he apparently still doesn't find any purpose in the come command unless it's for food. I trained him from the beginning to not mouth or touch anything in the house. That part was easy, since I simply replaced what I didn't want him to touch with something I didn't mind him touching, such as one of his own toys, which he had in abundance. We had our yard challenges as well. He thought those hose nozzles and hoses were great fun to destroy, but we corrected that behavior right away by switching to metal nozzles and teaching him that the hose was off limits. Except for summertime bathing, which he loved as a puppy, and even as an adult, he just thought it was fun to play with the water hose, with me doing that with him, not with him playing with the hose alone. Okay. So back to the story. I eventually found the best fix later, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Shadrach also thought digging up our nice lawn in the backyard was great fun. Some of you may remember this from the Digging Garden podcast. As soon as I caught him at it, I'd stop him with a firm no and then take him over to a portion of the yard reserved for his digging, take hold of a paw, and begin digging with it. I'd say, "Dig, dig, dig," the high-pitched tone of voice, so he'd know that the intention was fun. He quickly got the message that it was okay to dig as much as he liked there, but not in the grass. When he had a wild hair up his behind, such as dogs behave when excited, like a zoomie, you know, he'd run over to his digging spot and dig nearly to China. It was the funniest thing to watch. Shadrach enjoys it to this day. Actually, he has a much larger digging garden now at our new desert home. Yeah, he got to live here for 2 years. Three. It wasn't long before Shadrach outgrew his crate, his baby crib, and graduated to a big dog bed. He slept in his room without being locked in, as he'd been conditioned to sleep in that spot. In fact, Shadrach outgrew everything. His collars, his bed, his toys, everything. He even outgrew all of his park buddies, with the group changing members on a regular basis. Shadrach remained the one constant at the park, as it was his favorite place to go. He has always loved interacting with fellow canines, although he has never enjoyed having them visit at our home. He would tolerate it, but he didn't. He wasn't too thrilled with it. During that entire time, Shadrach appeared healthy, although things were changing and I couldn't help but notice. I had continued with a traditional approach to his care at first, but Shadrach wasn't going to allow me to stay there. I took him to the vet to have his anal sacs checked because the horrible familiar smell from my days in veterinary medicine when I was a vet tech was very evident to me. Unfortunately, he had impacted anal sacs, which had to be drained, and he was put on some meds to help him heal. I had never had to clean out the anal sacs while I worked at the veterinary clinic, so I asked Shadrach's current vet to show me how to do it, which he gladly did. And by the way, this is the exact same vet clinic that I had dubbed the Chrome Palace in an earlier chapter that I share in the book. Although by now it was much older and a lot less shiny, and the owner and the veterinarians employed there were different as well. Shadrach had been neutered and vaccinated elsewhere, so it was his first time to be seen at this particular clinic. Yes, I vaccinated then too. Ugh. Unfortunately, it wouldn't be long before before we were back again because Shadrach contracted Bordetella, more commonly known as kennel cough. One of his girlfriends from the park, Kuma, she was a golden retriever, had gotten the same disease at the groomers. It's interesting to note that both Shadrach and Kuma had received the standard vaccine against kennel cough, and yet they both contracted the illness. Fancy that. This is caused by a virus similar to the common cold in humans, but with a deep hacking cough, kind of almost sounds like a whooping cough. It is conventionally treated with antibiotics, and we all know that antibiotics are not effective against viruses, so why they're prescribed as the standard medication makes no sense to me today, although there is a component to that, a bacterial component to that, is that's what they're really treating. I have found it, and this is just a side note from this book, I have found it to be not the good choice ever, and have found great natural alternative to all of this. Okay, so it still makes no sense to me today, even with that being bacterial, an underlying bacterial infection as well. However, at that time, I trustingly put Shadrach through 2 months, get this, 2 months, you guys, of antibiotic treatment, which ultimately caused his immune system to decline severely. The antibiotics killed all the good immune-supported bacteria in his intestines along with the bad and had no effect whatsoever on the viruses they were prescribed for. Rest, plenty of purified water, a raw diet, which he wasn't getting yet, colloidal silver, probiotics, enzymes, and colostrum would have been not only a better protocol to follow, but a healing and immune system building one as well. Unfortunately, I had not learned any of that yet. At the same time, I kept trying to find some type of kibble that he would readily eat. I was mystified why a formerly starved dog was not interested in eating all this quote-unquote good food. So began my quest into natural animal health. I started searching or researching food, and then began adding cooked meats, veggies, and other junk into the food I was giving him. Shadrach would methodically pick out the meat and leave the rest. Eventually, after I tried everything I could think of to get him to eat his veggies and kibble, I discovered that that was not what a carnivore was meant to eat. Yeah, I finally figured out he was a carnivore. Shadrach had been trying to tell me this all along. The cooking part mattered little, although he does or did prefer a little warmth to his food, reminding me of what Gollum said to one of the hobbits in a Lord of the Rings movie. Sam, a rotund young hobbit, was cooking a nice pot of rabbit stew, and Gollum screeched in a tantrum, "What are you doing to it, you fat, stupid hobbit? I like it raw and still wiggling." Most dogs will do just fine with pure raw meat and bones, cold or otherwise, and organs, I might add. The final incident to send me headlong into the promotion of natural animal health happened late one night. We'd noticed some strange parallel strips of missing fur along each side of Shadrach's body, and I took him to his vet to see what was going on. The vet did skin scrapes and determined the cause to be idiopathic, which translated means he had no idea what it was. So he did what all doctors and veterinarians apparently do when the diagnosis is determined to be idiopathic. He prescribed topical and internal antibiotics. Sometimes they'll also include steroids. I could go off on a tangent here about the logic behind this treatment, but I'll spare you the tirade because at that time I was as ignorant of the facts as are those in the veterinary profession who have not seen the light yet. I began Shadrach's course of topical and internal antibiotics immediately, but the following day he was vomiting off and on. So as vet advised, we discontinued the internal antibiotics and continued using the topical ones only. I went to bed early that night, totally exhausted, but about 2 hours later, Donnie roused me from a dead sleep to say that Shadrach was heaving and hacking as though he couldn't breathe. Within minutes, I was dressed and we were off to the emergency animal clinic. I remember Donnie asking me if I wanted a hat, and I thought it was because of the cold winter air, and I said, "No, let's just go." I later discovered it was because I'd not brushed my sleep-messed hair, and Donnie was doing his best to be subtle about it. No doubt I resembled Cruella de Vil from the movie 101 Dalmatians. When we arrived, I immediately informed the vet I was a former vet assistant, and I wanted to get to the nitty-gritty of what was going on with Shadrach right away. In my panic, I feared it was torsion, the digestive illness seen in many dogs, such as the Great Danes. And so she began quoting the exorbitant costs of its treatment, and I finally had to ask her to please just determine what was wrong first before you go on telling me what all these costs are going to be. X-rays were taken, and it was apparent that Shadrach had aspirated vomit into his lungs, causing pneumonia. My personal diagnosis was a drug-induced pneumonia due to his reaction to antibiotics that brought it all on in the first place. We were advised to leave Shadrach with them until morning, or rather told to leave him there. I have since learned that considering the fact that he is our dog, we make the demands, not the healthcare practitioners, especially since we're the ones who pay the bill. For the record, I feel the same way about my clients. I work for them, so they make all the decisions. I merely guide them with suggestions. We hardly slept that night, and we were back at the clinic door at 8 a.m., all I could think about was what Shadrack must have felt when we walked off and left him there the night before. Because of the abuse he had previously suffered before he came to us, we had a natural tendency to want to shelter him, maybe overprotect, but I don't think so. He was a very strong dog. Several hundred dollars later, we got him back sicker than ever, and what sent me over the edge was the fact that he had poop all over his backside and no one there had even bothered to clean him up. He also had a catheter in his hind leg, not the front, with the bandage so tight that his leg had swollen up to twice its normal size. That's how I got my dog back. I immediately took him to our regular vet, and he too was furious at the treatment Shadrack had received at the emergency clinic. He was also very apologetic that Shadrack had been put through so much. He's a nice guy. Nothing could calm my anger at the time, although I now feel I might have more appropriately directed the majority of it at myself for not being better informed and aware of my available choices for him. The emergency clinic had also given poor Shadrack even more antibiotics. Another thing which made little sense to me, but which I permitted anyway. Immediately after this horrendous episode, I began my mission to find out all I could about natural animal health and to see to it that Shadrack never had to endure anything like that again, ever. Donnie figured out that the skin disorder was Shadrack's allergic response to the new paint in our house. He always leans up against our walls, so by keeping him from doing that, his skin healed. We also used the ointment and animal shampoo by Young Living that a new online friend sent to me free of charge. And at that point, my journey truly began in earnest. I was on a mission to share what I knew with the rest of the world. I began blogging and writing about natural animal health. I went back to school, earned my degrees, and at this time when I wrote this book, I was studying for my degree of Doctor of Naturopathy and Human Health as well, which I did attain. I've learned so much about the harm we can cause our animals by using what we thought was helping them, vaccines, processed food, topical flea and tick medicines, and even the internal medicines for heartworm and parasites, and let's just call it what it is, the pharmaceuticals of all kinds, because they're for so many reasons, and I will talk about that often on this podcast. I realize that many people, laymen and professionals alike, will vehemently disagree with me, and that's okay, because I've learned the truth, and that's also what this podcast is about. I stepped out of my comfort zone because of one stubborn, willful, and absolutely wonderful dog by the name of Shadrack. Previously, Shadrack would try and run for me whenever I attempted to apply the topical flea and tick control, and then as soon as I had applied it, he'd be rolling in the grass, trying to rub it off, then in the dirt, and then back to the grass, doing his best to get that junk off of him. That nasty, toxic junk, I might add. You would have thought I'd at least get a clue from the package directions which stated that gloves should be worn when applying. Whatever we put on our animals eventually goes into them, thus burdening and taxing the liver and other filtration organs such as the skin, lungs, kidneys, etc. Even though I was earning my degrees and receiving my education, Shadrack still had some lessons of his own to teach me. He never stopped teaching me. One morning, he accidentally slid down into a cement arroyo constructed by the city to contain the fast-flowing water runoff so frequent during our thunderstorms. Donnie told me Shadrack slid sideways, I wasn't with him, and arrived home with a few scrapes and bruises in addition to a bruised ego. I took care of his topical scrapes with some of the natural ointment and essential oils I used, thinking that he was okay. A few months later, I discovered I was wrong about my treatment. First, he had a pancreatic attack, which I addressed and pulled him through using an entirely natural protocol. And then he started walking with his right front paw knuckling over, which led me to an animal chiropractor who greatly helped him. Then, to rule out any fractures, I had him x-rayed by his regular vet, although he has since been seen by a holistic vet as well, who discovered that Shadrack had a few arthritic changes in his elbow and then later his hips, which I supported with supplements rather than pharmaceuticals. All in all, I continue to keep him healthy with occasional treatments by the animal chiropractor and the use of essential oils, herbs, supplements, and massage. For the most part, I generally monitor and take care of his health issues myself. He has not on any form of drugs or medications since that awful visit to the emergency animal clinic. At the time, he was about 3.5, if I remember correctly. Shadrack has been my teacher dog at that time for almost 10 years. He lived to be nearly 12, and he continues to educate me. He's the reason I went back to school, why I blog and write, why I do, and I called it an online radio show. That's what we called podcasts back then, because people didn't understand the word podcast, and why I now help other pet owners be empowered with the knowledge they need to care for their animals according to God's provision in nature. I'm thrilled to say at the time of this writing, Shadrack still graces our home with his larger-than-life presence. He is the most vocal dog I've ever known, and he makes all his opinions known to anyone who will listen. Whenever anyone comes to our home, he assumes they are there primarily to see him. He has an abundance of toys, but he's not at all thrilled about sharing them whenever any other dogs come to visit. While I was writing this story today, three dogs wandered into our front yard through the open gate, as Donnie was about to begin some work there. When we attempted to catch them, the two black labs mixes ran off, presumably back home, while the little black and white Merle cattle dog mix remained, just as though she had found her long-lost home at last. She stayed all day, much to Shadrach's dismay, until we could get her back to her own home. Her owners had had the foresight to have her tag with a pet watch tag, by which we were able to determine that she lived only a few blocks away. I had a lot of fun with her, but Shadrach made it very clear that he wished her to be gone. He makes sure that we go for our daily walk, which helps us to stay healthy. He has made us aware of how important it is to eat food that is specific to our species. Shadrach has shown us that when we honor the laws of nature, which God instituted, we can be healthy and defy genetics. And now I've since learned about epigenetics. We both know that Shadrach was sent into our lives not because he needed saving, but because we truly did. While our salvation came during Fridge's lifetime, Shadrach has led us along the road to sanctification. It was no accident that we were in need of a dog at the same time he was in need of a home. The road with Shadrach has never, and it never was easy, was and has been the best thing to happen to us. I feel as though he has shown me the path to full redemption for all my past mistakes, and I'm a better person because God sent a needy little puppy to a married couple in great need of life lessons that are often best learned through the love of an animal. A neo-mastiff named Shadrach taught me all this, and I'm still learning. As a matter of fact, the ones that have come since have taught me so much, and I'm so grateful for this dog, and to this day, he inspires me. I hope you enjoyed this story, and I will share links if you want to check out his free class. It's great, and it's some videos of him doing his vocalizations in there, and just photos of him, and him sharing everything that he taught me, and I hope that you are inspired to know that you can do the same, and you can do this. If you're not ready yet, just think about what your dog needs more than about what you need, because when you do, that's when you really will begin to learn. That's all for this time, and just remember, you guys, that when we know the truth makes us free. Thank you for listening, and be well, yo. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. 3 John 1:2. Visit my website at aspenbloompetcare.com to read the blog and the articles, to become part of my essential oils team, and just to learn more. The Doggone Truth Podcast is a production of Aspen Bloom. All rights reserved and may not be resold or utilized in any way without express written permission by Aspen Bloom and Dr. Ken Bloomer. The information I share represents what I, an animal naturopath and an independent distributor of Young Living Essential Oils, have chosen to do to take charge of my own personal health and that of my family and pets. Information learned here is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not meant to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, but rather to motivate you to make your own health care and dietary decisions and those of your pets, based upon your own research and in partnership with your health care providers. I encourage you to dig in and make your own informed decisions through your own personal responsibility, research, application, and due diligence. Thank you.